Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me here to speak. A couple of months ago, Rob and I were talking about my deacon license. I have to renew it every year. So I have to go through the articles of the discipline and stare at it and say, how do I agree with this, and answer those questions and send them in. And I have to have my pastor sign off on it. And as our discussion went on, I mentioned to him how I love to speak in churches, and I do. I love going out to churches where I don't know anybody, because I know then if I screw up, if I make a mistake, I don't have to look at them the following week. Unfortunately, not here. So I did get nervous the moment I walked in these doors today, and I'm saying this to make you laugh a little bit, because I understand, Andrew, what you were talking about last week, because I felt the same moment, you know, that you probably felt, which is... Okay, it's all right. Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. My mother was something else. We are going to talk a little bit about her specifically, but also before I get to that part, I would like to share with you something that happened in Sunday school today that I didn't expect. In Sunday school, Dennis Fulmer, who was leading the class, asked Mary Martin to come up and share about her mother. Now, I had walked Mary across the street, and she asked me to carry her bag when we crossed the street, and I wondered what was in this bag. Well, that was her props for when she talked about her mother. So as she spoke to us about her mother, she started getting things out, those memories that she has in material form. Today, we do that too with our own mothers. By the way, when Mary was done, Robin spoke to us about her mother, who is Mary. And for me, it was like, this is so cool, you know, that I can hear this and see this. When I decided to do this sermon message on Mother's Day, he asked me, Pastor Rob asked me, what will you talk about? And I said right away, Hannah. Because the first sermon I ever did was on the book of Ruth. And one of the people in the crowd, when I asked the question, who are the women of the Bible that were great mothers, somebody in the back yelled, Hannah. So that stuck in my mind all these years. And I wanted to preach on Hannah, so today you will hear about that. But first, my own mother. The last couple years of my mother's life, she lived alone in her apartment, and were remarkable years because she had been through three cancers and several strokes and a heart attack over a period of 20 years. So we would go to the hospital at times, and the doctors would say, call in everybody in the family, because this is it. And she kept bouncing back. And time after time, she would come back to her home, and she would rededicate herself to God. And one of the things that she did was pray. That was the one thing she could do that she couldn't do physically, other things for the church, but she could pray. So she would constantly ask us for lists of people to pray for, right? She died in her sleep with her hands folded. That's my best memory. I have another one that's a little funnier. My nephew Mike was a year older than me when I was born. That's a long story, but I was the baby of the family. And he was like my big brother. So he was at my house for a summer visit. And we were bored. We didn't have anything to do anymore. We played with all my toys. Roamed the neighborhood, and finally we decided we're going to set up a table and we're going to sell cookies because my mom was baking cookies. Now, we didn't ask her about any of this. We just decided we're going to do it. So we took the card table out front and we made a sign and we got a jar to put the money in. And then we went in and snatched the cookies that my mom was making and brought them out front to the table and went in business for ourselves. It was a good idea because these cookies sold out. So we went back in. And we got another tray of cookies. And we went back out and started selling. And then I heard my mom say, what happened to all my cookies? And Mike said, quick, get rid of the evidence. And he started eating them. She came out the door, and there we were, both of us, with our mouths full like chipmunks. And she goes, where are all my cookies? Mmm. So, you know what grace is? When your mom says you can keep the money, and you can eat the cookies. And it wasn't a problem for us. I want to study today Hannah's prayer. Raise your hands for me. Who knows who Hannah is in the Bible? It's just not like you're going to be graded on this, okay? Okay, a couple hands didn't go up, but whatever. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verses 21 would be the scripture reference for this. Now, a little bit about Samuel. His parents were named Elkanah and Hannah. So this is Hannah we're talking about. The son's name was Samuel. Samuel means God's gift. God gave. He was a godly man, Samuel, and he was greatly loved and respected by many. He became a great prophet and a leader of God's people. God spoke to him. And it's recorded, and I also recommend that you go to Scripture and read that. It's remarkable, that exchange between he and God. God spoke to him and through him on various occasions, as recorded in Scripture. I want to focus for a while on Samuel's birth. So this is before Samuel became a great leader, of course. It's really about his mother's prayer. I want you to listen to this story, and I'm going to shorten some sections. I'm also going to add some comments to it. I'll paraphrase. Just listen to the words. Get the gist, get the picture, get the depth of her emotions and her soul-filled desires. I'll read you scripture now. There was a certain man of Ephraim whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Now, most scholars believe Hannah was the first wife of two wives. When it was realized she couldn't bear children, Elkanah married a second wife in hopes of carrying on the family name. This was a cultural thing in those days. So it must have been rough for Hannah. Hannah had to deal with the mocker. I call her the mocker. Peninnah, who would make fun of her because she didn't have any kids. She had to deal with not being able to conceive. Hannah had to deal with not being able to conceive. And year after year, she had to go to the temple and go through this cycle, where she would see the sacrifices, which would mean that it's a thank offering sacrifice. She would see the sacrifices done, but her prayers weren't being answered. She would pray, but the only answer she heard was nothing. And she had to feel that she was less than her husband's other wife. That's a tough situation to be in. Year after year, she and her husband could not conceive a child, and she really wanted one. It says she wept and would not eat. In medical terms today, we might say she was severely depressed. The idea of being a mother was so important to her that it must have burdened her very soul. I want you to get that. To these folks in these days, this was their life. It wasn't getting a job and a degree and doing things in the world. It was having a family and raising a family and being a mother. That was the work that they wanted to do. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" So there's a guy, like many of us, that we don't get it. We don't really know the depth of the woman's feelings. We don't even try to understand it. We think it's about us. So we say, "Am I not more to you than 7 or 10 sons? Am I not enough?" But it's about to get better. So they have these meals that they would eat the sacrifice, and so after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh was where the Ark of the Covenant was, the temple was there, the tent, Hannah rose. And Eli the priest was sitting on his... Remember I said I was going to call you? I think that was my car keys. It was. Are we going to be all right after I do that? I hope so. That was scary. Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. He was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord. And wept bitterly. Okay, we're in our switch the mic time. Yeah, let me, Jeremy, stay back. Let me use this mic here. Right here. I'm going to read you that scripture again, okay? I'm not nervous anymore. I'm just ridiculous. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Picture this woman coming into the sight of the high priest. She fell to her knees and lowered her face to the ground as she wept. She prayed out loud, but not too loud. She cried. Her very soul was laid out before God. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. So God wants us to hear this prayer. God wants us to hear this prayer. That's why it's recorded. And that's for us to learn from. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. So even the priest had in his mind that she was a different person than she really was. He didn't understand her until she explained her deep pain to him. Her reply to this priest, this high priest of God, took boldness, and she said, No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made before him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. So in Sunday school, when I was a kid, I learned this story. And the story back then was about her being a motherless woman, and the focus was on that, and it wasn't on what I'm going to focus on with you, okay? So there's reasons for that sometimes, I suppose, but maybe I couldn't understand as a child what this is really about. But this is not about being a motherless woman. It's not about the culture of the times. God put this story together for us to hear from 3,000 years ago. So we're not cultural experts. What this is about, though, is how to discern what prayer is about. Not the only prayer. It's not exhaustive, but it's one study on it. And it's not about the cruelty of those that are blessed when others aren't. So in other words, Peninnah had children, and she was cruel to Hannah. It's not about that. It's about honoring God, taking heart-filled needs to him in prayer, waiting patiently for an answer, and persistence in asking. And so that is the idea of the message. So let's look at some scripture again. We're going to do step by step, one at a time. Let's look at the things Hannah and Elkanah did that God wants us to see and learn from, reading only selected sections of the scripture. Number one, honor God. This man, Elkanah, used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord. So, we go to church every week. You could say we're godly people if you look at us from that standpoint. Elkanah and his whole family, his two wives, the children, all went to worship, to sacrifice, and to do the offering. He was the husband leading the way. That was the way it was done by godly people back then. God said, honor him. That's what the scripture says. God is honoring him. God says, honor him. Number two, prayer. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. So this wasn't a prayer that lacked intensity, was it? You ever throw up those prayers that are just like, casual? Are you really honoring God? Are you honoring God in prayer? This prayer is an example of someone who prayed intensely. God is saying, pray intensely. Now, just for a moment, we don't always have to fall on the floor screaming and crying to make prayer effective. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, let's not be flippant when we pray, because we're praying to the Almighty God of heaven. Number three. This is my one, my big trouble. This is the one I have trouble with the most. And in due time, not this part, Hannah conceived and bore a son. I don't have trouble with that part. But this was after Eli the priest blessed her. The response to prayer didn't come immediately. That's my problem, is the waiting for the answer, and then understanding it. We don't know how long it was before Hannah bore a child after the blessing. See, Scripture doesn't clearly state that. I can imagine the mockery got worse during that time, because they came back and said, this is what the priest said, so Peninnah heard it. And I can imagine things got awful hard for Hannah and Elkanah, wondering when are we going to have this child? He promised. God is saying he will answer prayer in his time. Not our time, his time. Number four, hang on to the promises of God. So in my computer on my desktop, I have a click on the promises of God, and it has like 100 promises on there. I don't know them all, but I have to look at them periodically to refresh my memory. And boy, does that help when things are getting hard. Hang on to the promises of God. Hannah and Elkanah also had this priestly blessing in their minds as they loved each other. Now think about that for a minute, what I just said. I'll say it again. Hannah and Elkanah also had this priestly blessing in their minds as they loved each other. They shared this deeply together. Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. Elkanah was part of that. So it's not just about mothers here. Number five, persistence in asking through prayer. I'm not going to read you the scripture. Jesus tells us in Luke 18, and you may know this one, of a widow who goes in front of an unjust judge. Some of you are nodding your heads. So many times, she goes in front of this unjust judge so many times, he finally gives in to her requests. Jesus then asks, how much more will the good God of heaven do for his children when they ask him for something? How much more? Hannah was persistent. Scripture said, so it went on year by year. So it went on year by year means a long time. To me, a day is a long time. Year by year, that's what Hannah was dealing with after and before all this went on. Yet Hannah did not stop. She did not give up hoping or run away from God because he didn't give her what she wanted. Do you think the only time she prayed was the time Scripture told us about? All those years she's praying. No, she prayed ongoingly. David wrote, King David wrote, hundreds of years later, this isn't up there, how long, O Lord, in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Hannah prayed. She was given an answer. Then she waited in expectation. And then the moment came when she knew as a woman that she was pregnant. And she went, I can imagine, she ran to Elkanah and said, I'm pregnant. We've done it. And we couldn't wait to see what would happen next. But here's some more things about Hannah's prayer. This is so difficult when you do this as a speaker because you have to think about what you're saying and you have to say, did this come across wrong? This is not a magic formula for how to get prayer answered. There is much more we must consider about prayer. Like I said, this is not an exhaustive study. I'm simply sharing one story. Her prayer was a conditional promise. Her prayer was honest and honorable. She was broken and prayed from her heart. King David also wrote in Psalm 51, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. A broken and contrite heart you will not despise. When we go before the Lord and our hearts are broken and we are feeling our pain at the depth that it really is and we're being real, and we're praying to him, he will not hate that. It says he will not despise. Also, she asked, she did not ask wrongly. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. I want to win the lottery, so I'm going to buy a ticket, and I'm going to pray about it, and he's going to give me the lottery, then I'm going to win. I'm going to fix everybody's problems. I'm going to give everybody in charity money. I'm going to get all the stuff that I want. Wrong motives. They're okay, some of them are okay, but it's wrong motives. And I use lottery, which probably wouldn't have been a best example, but people pray oftentimes, and they do that. They make a bargain prayer, or they have the wrong motive when they're doing it. She asked according to God's decreed will. Decreed will. This is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's in 1 John 5:14. We do know that one of the things that's God's will is to expand his kingdom. And he has tasked us as believers with that to do. So that's according to his will. So if I were to pray for someone to be saved, that's within his will. But again, I still may not see that answer in my walking days on this earth. But this is what it says. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So pray and believe that that will come about. And then another point would be she was a righteous child of God. And I say that because she, with her husband, went to the temple for the thank offering sacrifice every year. And I just see it in her prayer, and I see it in her behavior. She didn't shoot back at Penina. It isn't recorded that she had an argument with Penina. And here's what James says. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How many times have we made bargain prayers when desperate? I've made them a lot. If you get me through this, I'll do this. I stopped doing that now. I don't do that anymore. But I did that for a long time. Be careful how you ask God for answered prayer. Be thoughtful about who he is. Sometimes our prayer hopes are not aligned with God's will. Romans 11:34, who can know the mind of God? But Hannah was praying for an outcome that God blessed. It aligned with his will. I'll say it again. He decreed that her prayer would be answered as she hoped. I'll read again her scripture. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. That aligned with God's will. Now we're at the heart of the matter. So I took all this time to get to here. And this is what we really want to focus on. She wanted to have a child badly. She prayed and she waited. She and her husband honored God year after year. And then she was willing to give up this child. That's just mind-boggling to me. But she was willing to do it. She recognized that God, who is the maker of all things, truly had the right to give or take life. He grants us life. He is king. Say that with me. He is king. You're allowed to talk. Say, he is king. That's your God. And that's what this is about. And he is a good God. Some churches I go that, he's a good God. And everybody goes, yeah, he's a good God. And he is. He's a good God. He gives us good things. And Hannah was willing also not to hold this baby close, to raise him and watch over him as a mother would normally do, but instead she trusted God with his upbringing. She would give him back. That was the sacrifice she was willing to make. So you know I got off script here. I'm lost now. So give me a second. Oh, yeah. This is the story of a mother who loves and trusts God. This is the story. I believe that this is the story God wants us to get. Trust him above all else. Oh, I wrote it again. He is a good God. He is a good God. But wait, there's more. I like that in the commercials when they do the whole thing and then they go, but wait, there's more. Yeah, she wrote a song. And I'm going to sing it to you. No, I'm not going to sing it to you. Had you for a minute. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart, it's not that funny, Jen. My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. That was the beginning of her song. And then at the end it says, then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. So that's the ending of our scripture study, but I want to go on with what happens next. So Samuel, I gave you his background a little bit in the beginning. Samuel was a prophet and a leader of Israel. He anointed King David as king. You may notice I left King Saul out because that's a chapter I don't want to talk about, but King Saul, okay, and then King David. Saul, the reason I don't want to bring that up is because it's an embarrassment in a sense to what happened to God's people. It's just another bad leader. Samuel was the last of the good judges. In fact, the only good judge, really. And he led him into the place where a king was anointed, and that was King David. He was spoken to by God. So he had a prophetic relationship with God that was unlike any other man in that time. People were not doing the right things. God's people had come into the land of Canaan after they went through the desert and they came to Canaan. They defeated some of those tribes there and they took over the land. And then they went their own way. And it says in Judges that everyone did what was right in their own mind. They no longer followed God's commandments, so it was time to get them back. Samuel was the man that God chose to bring them back to the right things. God decreed, or he decided, that Samuel would be the next one he would raise up. Samuel grew up in the household of Eli the priest, who had two sons and a wife. So it wasn't like they were giving their son to a person who didn't know how to raise a family. There was a family there. And he stayed there with them all those years. The sons were not good sons when it comes to being godly. And God wasn't going to let them inherit the priesthood and the leadership of the people of Israel. He put Samuel in place from his childhood as a baby on up to train him up under Eli and then to give him the mantle, the anointing, where he would, as the prophet and leader of the people, anoint the next king. God decreed that. By the way, Elkanah and Hannah came to that same temple then every year to do their thank offering sacrifice. So they saw their son growing up. And they also, Elkanah was no doubt there at other times, I would expect. And Hannah, too. And Hannah created a white linen ephod. Okay, so in our words, it would be a robe, a white robe, which the priests wore. From the time he was a little kid on up, she kept giving them to him the next size. So she was involved in his life. They were involved all those years. And I believe they were in prayer all those years. So that's what happened. Then Eli passed away, and God anointed Samuel. And then he, like I said, anointed David. And later, after Samuel pretty well had done his ministry, he returned to the town his parents lived in. And he lived out his days there. And I believe that, no doubt in his old age, he followed God's commandment and took care of his parents. Circle goes around and came back to them. But here's the thing. He wrote this story in Samuel. Samuel wrote the book of Samuel. He wrote this story about his mom, and it's been told for over 3,000 years. Nobody can top that as a Mother's Day gift, right? Mother's Day present. Friends, we just went through a long period of intense prayer for some people we love. It was powerful. One person told me at 3 o'clock in the morning, he was awakened by God and told to pray for Pastor Rob. That was the day Rob went in the hospital. What time did you go in? 2 a.m. Another person told me how throughout the day, they just felt called to pray for our pastors, for our leaders, for people who were stricken. God decreed that Samuel would be born. God decreed. It was his will that these loved ones would be healed. Healing comes in many forms. Some of our loved ones were healed in a way we cannot understand now. Some of these loved ones are the two pastors of this church who had been stricken with COVID. And as you know, one was close to heaven's door for a long time. But you heard our cries. You decreed he would return. He would return and minister. How awesome is that? We saw that. Friends, let your prayers continue in intensity. Every one of you. Whatever it's about. Honor God for who he is. Be persistent. Don't quit when you think it's going on too long. Keep going and wait patiently for his responses. There are more people in your life coming into your life daily that need that type of prayer. I met with a guy yesterday. I thought it was over with him. He got baptized last week. I thought he was on the right path. All he did was dump and dump and dump stuff on me to the point where I said, you got to stop. I can't take it anymore. And that takes a lot with me. This guy was so full of misery, negativity. God sent him to me. He was on my prayer list yesterday morning that I was to minister to. And I ended up talking to him that night and hearing all this. God is going to send you more people. And you're going to need that prayer that we just talked about. And you're going to need to do it for them. In your prayers, be faithful, be loving, be thankful, and be intense. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with petitions and requests, with expectations of good news in bad situations. We look for joy-filled moments when we realize you have heard us. Thank you for the heart of a mother we have seen through the story of Hannah. It is your Mother's Day present to all of us. Let us not forget your ultimate gift, a gift of answered prayer that is found in Jesus Christ. Save us, we cried, and you did, Lord Jesus. You saved us without condition, except a contrite and believing heart, like Hannah had when she came to you so long ago. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks, Lord. Amen.